You know, one of the things I like about coming to Creekside is when you come into the door, on the right-hand side, there's this mural. And it's got the what I call the Creekside tree. And I know you all remember it. And this tree is a visual representation of some verses in Colossians. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And let me read them to you, or recite them to you out of the new NIV. It says, as you have received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, I think this verse, I think it's a great verse. I love this. And I love the mural that helps cement it into our mind. Now, this scripture is helpful for us generally as Creekside, as a church minister in this community. It helps us remember that we're serving Jesus and we need to be rooted and grounded in him as we seek to be useful to God for his purposes. And I also think this scripture speaks to us specifically during this particular time. You know, this community's been wounded some. It's suffering some. And it's suffering, I think, more that the wounds deeper than we might realize. Things going on other than the coronavirus, consequences of the coronavirus. It's going to take a while to heal. And we're part of this community. And so we suffer also. And as we remember that we're tied into Jesus, it helps us show the community the goodness of God in spite of everything that's going on. It helps us remember the goodness of God. And so today I want to talk a little bit about these verses, okay? I think there's four things that I want to stress. The first is, as you have received Jesus as Lord. The second would be, continue to live your life in him. The third is strengthened in the faith. And the fourth is overflowing with thanksgiving. So, Jesus, life, faith, and thanksgiving. But I want to talk about these verses using an illustration from the life of Jesus, found in Mark chapter four, verses 35 through 41. Now, this is where it's a familiar story. I know that we all know this story. It's when Jesus was out in the Sea of Galilee with his disciples in a boat, and there was a big storm that arose, and Jesus calmed the storm. So I'm going to read Mark 5, and then we're going to talk about these four principles out of Colossians chapter 2. Mark 4, verse 35. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus talking to his disciples. Before I start, the general context, I think this is important, okay? Jesus has been teaching around the Sea of Galilee, okay? He's done the Sermon on the Mount. He's healed some people. He's healed the leper. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. And lots of people are following. There's a big crowd around Jesus. People are astonished at his preaching. Now, he's somewhat popular at that time, and he has a following, a big following. So he's got these 12 guys that are following him, and they're connected to him. Now, it seems to me at that time, I may be wrong, I wasn't there, but it seems to me at that time, it may have been somewhat easy for them to be followers of Jesus because it was the thing that was going on in that part of the world. And we can imagine it here also. If some popular speaker shows up, somebody that's got some charisma, you know, and the whole community likes him, people are following him, it's easy to join into that, okay? But Jesus has a message, he has a lesson for his disciples, for the 12, all right? And that's the context that this happens. So Jesus says, we'll start over. He says, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. All right? So when they had left the multitude, this is verse 36, they took him along in the boat as he was. And there were other little boats also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But Jesus, he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And then he arose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Like talking to a child almost. Hush, hush, hush. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you still have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, this was a big storm that came up. These disciples, they were some of them at least. Matthew was a tax collector, but Peter, you know, he and his brother, they were sea people. They were used to being out there. This wasn't the first storm that they had run into, I'm sure. Okay, but they were very, very afraid. You know, the sea is something that we can't control. Even today, we try. Maybe we can mitigate the consequences of a hurricane coming in, but we cannot control it. It is beyond our ability to control. Yet Jesus speaks to the storm, and it calms, right? The wind stops, and there's no more waves. It's almost like, you can imagine, it's like glass. Now, we all know, being from Houston, this part of the world, right? When the wind stops, the waves continue to come in. I don't know how long. They come in for a while, right? But Jesus stops. And they say, the disciples, like, "Who is this person? Who is this being that even the winds and the waves obey him?" And friends, there's only one answer to that question. Jesus is the Lord, the one true God, the creator of the universe and all that is in it. You know, they had a name for him in Israel, Yahweh. Yahweh was the only one that could control the seas. Listen to a few verses out of the Psalm. Psalm 29, verse 3. The voice, remember Jesus spoke, right? "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." In Psalm 95, he says, "Oh, come, let us worship. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God." That's who this person is, and that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to see. They weren't just aligned with a good speaker. They weren't just aligned with a charismatic person. They were aligned with the Creator God of the universe. And Paul in Colossians says, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord. All right, continue living in Him. This is the being that we have received. And Joey reminded that of us. It's good for us to remember that, to know that, to grasp it, to embrace it, that we are Jesus followers and we follow the person that speaks to the storm and it stops. You know, there's no other being anywhere in existence with more power than Jesus. And not just, it's not just he's a little bit more powerful. He's exponentially more powerful. Job says, you know, creation is just the edge of his ways. It's just a whisper of God's power. We cannot even begin to imagine the power of Jesus. And that's good for us to remember during this time that this coronavirus that we think we can't do anything about, or all the consequences that we can't do anything about. We're in the middle of a storm, but we're in the boat with Jesus, who's the Creator, Lord of the universe. You know, and the next thing let's go back to the story. And it's interesting in the story, we see a lot of details. It says that, let me get back to it. Says that day, at the end of the day, before the evening, let me get back to it, okay. When evening had come, said, let's go to the other side. Jesus was in the boat as he was. There were lots of other little boats around him, okay. Jesus, you know, a storm came up, but Jesus was asleep. Where? In the stern. Where was his head? On a pillow. Okay, look at all the details in here. And I think the emphasis is everyday life. The power of Jesus in the context of everyday life. This wasn't just a story that Jesus told. Let me tell you, let me tell you a parable. There was a man that was in a boat. This is a story that an event, not a story, an event that happened in every day life. You know, we are not deist. Now, a deist believes that God created, he's strong, he created, and he's up here, right? And we're down here on the earth, and he doesn't interact with what goes on here. It's like he created, he wound up the creation, and then just set it loose for it to play out. And there's no interaction between the two. I think Jesus wants his disciples to know, hey, we're not deist, okay? That the Almighty God interacts with his creation. Now, you know, I have to confess to all you folks out there that oftentimes I'm somewhat of a practical deist. You know, I believe in Jesus. I do. I believe. I believe he's the Son of God. I'm relying on him for eternal life. But, you know, I rely on the boat a lot in my life. And I suspect some of you are the same way. You know, your boat may be, I've got a good job. I've got some retirement set aside. I've got some money in the bank. I've been exercising. My health's good, right? We have a tendency to build things that we find security in. And those are not, that's not bad to do, to be smart in the way that we live our life. But what happens in my life is I begin to rely upon those things. So the coronavirus sets in and I think, we're okay. You know, we're not, I'm on retirement. I told a friend the other day, we're okay as long as the company that I used to work for doesn't go bankrupt. You know, it's like, and Jesus is saying, and Paul is saying, like, bro, it's not about the boat. I can bring something in your life that will destroy those systems that you have set up to protect you. Right? And the disciples, they thought they had a boat big enough, but they didn't. They had ability, but their ability wasn't enough to carry them through because Jesus was teaching them, this is not about the boat. And so for me, I have to be careful. Alan, what are you trusting in? You know, what are you fearful about? The stock market falls 25, 30%. What are you, you know, you worry about your 401k, your retirement? I worry, but you shouldn't, Alan. Why? Where is your faith? You know, Jesus says, I'm with you always, right? Even to the ends of the earth. In Hebrews 13:5, the author says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord's on my side, what can man do to me? And I think Jesus was trying to teach this lesson to his disciples. And our verse in Colossians says, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. And I think that's important for us today, that I'm not rooted and built on a system that I have created, that I have worked for. Because that's when I become fearful, when the waves begin to pound against it. But if I know that my roots, my identity, my security is in Jesus, then I don't say, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? You know, the disciples just thought that there was some kind of disconnect between what was going on and Jesus. And Jesus wanted them to see, no, I'm with you when you're in the boat. So the disciples panic, right? And I just said, they say, they come to Jesus and they say, do you not care that we're dying? Are you not interested in the fact that we're dying? Are you not worried about this, Lord? You know, the disciples were responding to the storm like deist, honestly. You know, and the answer, Ann told me the other day, said, Alan, this is a little bit where you get fuzzy, okay? All right? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst also. Now, right now in this room, there's how many are? Six. So Jesus is in this room, right? That's what he said. Do we believe that? Do we? Well, he said it. Do we see him? No, we don't see him, all right? But he says he's here. Now, faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, you know, faith is the substance, the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he says in verse 3, Hebrews 3, 11, 3, by faith we believe that the worlds were formed by the word of God, and what is visible was created by that, out of that, that is invisible. Okay, that what was visible was not created by that which is visible. That the invisible, that the things that we cannot see, okay, they are real, they have substance, and faith is what allows us to see that, right? Faith is seeing the interaction of the spiritual world with the physical world. So faith is what changes us from deist to theist, that we know that God is at work in our world, in our community, in our home, in our church. All right? Through faith, we understand that. And Paul says, grow your roots into Jesus. All right? Live your life in Him, strengthened in the faith. You know, through faith, we see that the kingdom of God exists and that it's never in trouble. You know, through faith, we see that the kingdom of God is good. We may not think what's going on is good, but we know that God is good, right? And through faith, we see that Jesus is always with us, and He acts with strength. So Paul wants us to be strengthened in our faith. How do we do that? And I think my suggestion, being strengthened, to strengthen our faith, is to practice the presence of God. If faith is what allows us to see the intersection of the spiritual with the physical, if that's real, then we need to practice that. We need to practice the presence of God. And as we do that, it helps strengthen our faith. How do we practice the presence of God? All right. Well, one way is prayer. We pray. We talk to Jesus. We talk, and we don't, there's not a person that we see that's talking back to us, but we talk to Him. And we have a conversation with Him as we go through the day. We acknowledge that He's here, that He's with us, and we just talk to Him. Right? And the other thing for me is observation. You know, when the sun comes up every day in the east, it comes up in the east, right? That's evidence of the goodness of God, according to Jesus, right? He causes His sun to rise on the good and the evil. He does good, right? We see God. Thank you, Lord, that we've got sun today, that we see the sun going. We know that it came from You, right? The rain, I think it may be raining outside right now, okay? The rain is evidence of the goodness of God. The way that plants grow is evidence of the goodness of God. The way that the animals, the little squirrels that I don't like, run around in my backyard, and the way they hop, and the way they're just amazing, their little bodies, they can jump like 10 times their body length. That's cool. Somebody created that, and we see that. And as we see that, and we think about, and people are created in the image of God. As we see each other, as we see our friends, we see our neighbors, we see strangers, those people were created in the image of God. We begin to understand the interaction of the visible with the invisible, and our faith is strengthened. And we got three or four more minutes. And then Paul finishes up overflowing with thanksgiving. You know, in the Psalms, faith in God during times of trouble was connected to rejoicing. All right? I'm going to say that again. Faith in times of trouble was connected to rejoicing. You know, the psalmist would say, we rejoice in the loving kindness of God, even though we're in famine, even though things are bad, we rejoice in these times. Remember a few weeks ago, Dean preached from Habakkuk, and the last verse is in Habakkuk. And it says that even though there's no fruit on the fig tree, even though there's no blossom on the vine, think about that. There's no food out there, and there's no blossoms on the vine to give us food. This is bad. It's not like, hey, there's no toilet paper over there. Not only is there no toilet paper in HEB, there's no toilet paper anywhere in any factory anywhere. You've got no hope. All right? He says there's the flocks, not be any flocks out there in the pastures. Not only are out there, he says, and there's no animals in the stalls. There's no mamas here making babies that are going to replenish the flock. Even though that's the case, yet I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Because we know there is not an individual, a being in the world stronger, more powerful than our God, Jesus, who we follow. And he's good. So, joyfulness. But Paul says, overflowing with thanksgiving. I was talking to Diane Sustick earlier this week. And Diane, how do you find joy? What was it that helped you find joy in your journey, especially in the difficult times when John, towards the end of his life? And she said, Alan, the key to joy is thankfulness. And Diane's verse, if you're out there, Diane, thank you for this. I hope I quote it right. But Diane's life verse is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think verse 16, 17, 18 in that neighborhood. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, in Paul in Philippians, he was talking to the church in Europe, Thessaloniki and the church of Philippi says the same thing. He says, rejoice always. Let your kindness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. All right. Pray. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will flood your heart. Rejoice. Be thankful. So, you know, and how do we do that? We just give thanks. We just say, thanks, Lord. We see things happening. We see evidence of the goodness of God. We practice the presence of God, and we express gratitude. You know, Jesus says that what comes out of our mouth starts in our heart, right? So if we're going to give thanks, it flows out of a thankful heart. And Alan kind of likes to add that what comes out of our mouth sometimes circles around and trains our heart also. So a heart comes up, we give thankfulness, and thankfulness makes our heart more thankful, and then we offer thanks, and then our heart grows in thankfulness, and we offer thanks. So we're overflowing with thankfulness. And rejoicing is an expression of joy. So these are things that we can do to help us grow our roots down into Jesus. We can practice the presence of God. We can pray. We can look for the sun coming up. We can look at the rain. We can look at life around us. We can look at family. We can look at technology even during this time. So we get to be together. And then we give thanks. And we rejoice. You know, and these are things that are disciplines in a way, things that we need to be intentional to do. And people find joy, they rejoice, they express joy in different ways, right? Some people love music, right? I was watching David play the guitar before it started. You know, he probably found a little joy expressing it in the guitar. Some people listen to music. Some people just like to have great conversations and to talk about good things. But learning as a church to rejoice. So, during the midst of this storm that we're in, you know, Jesus wants us to have learned the lesson. He doesn't want us to approach it as deist. He wants us to understand first that He is the Almighty Creator God, and that He is with us, beside us. He's promised not to leave us, that we continue to live our life in Him. It's not about the boat. It's about who's in the boat with us, and we're relying on Jesus. Strengthened in the faith, that we put on our faith glasses and we see God at work around us. We know that the invisible is just pounding on the visible with love and with goodness, even though things don't look good. That's for another sermon, all right? And as we see that, we overflow with thankfulness, which in turn leads to rejoicing. So that's it for today. I hope you guys have a great week, all right, that you see God's blessing in it, that you're able to minister to each other, you're able to minister to your neighbors, if you've got a need, that people, the church is blessing you. Let me pray for us, and then I'm not sure if Dean will be back here next week or who will be here next week, but it'll be a good time together. So let me pray. Lord God, Jesus, thank you that you're in this with us, that we don't walk through this time alone, that you are there with your hand extended to help us through, even though it may be very, very, very difficult, and even though we may not see good as defined by the world in it, Lord, we know that you are good. We believe that you are good. We believe that you care for us. And we believe that your kingdom is stronger than anything around us. Lord, we would ask that you would strengthen our faith. Give us eyes, please, Jesus, to see that today. Help us have hearts that don't doubt you, but that see you for who you are. And Lord, help us rejoice. Even though we're apart and we love to rejoice together, Father, help us to rejoice where we are with our friends, with our family, with our neighbor. Lord, as we're separated, we confess that we rely upon you. And I pray for the whole Creekside family, Lord. I know there's people that are suffering, with illnesses, with maybe job concerns, family maybe that's suffering, Lord, we lift up the Creekside family and ask for your intervention and your blessing upon them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.